read a passage this morning from the 18th chapter of St. Luke. And I'll begin reading with the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's the first 8 verses of the 18th chapter of Luke. And I want to turn now to the 11th chapter of Luke and read from verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's reading from the 5th verse through the 10th verse of the 11th chapter of Luke. Now these are 2 lessons on prayer, and not just prayer, but importunity. And importunity is persistent praying. And if the answer doesn't come, just persist. Keep pressing. Keep holding on. He presents the idea here, you might worry God into it. He gave the parable about the judge, and the widow woman, and the widow woman just worried the judge into avenging her of her adversaries. And Jesus told them, says, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry unto him day and night, though he bear along with them? Persistent praying. Urgent praying. So many times we fail at this point. And we give up. I read or heard of a vision that one of the saints had one time, that they went to heaven and was being escorted on a tour around through heaven, and they came around by the throne, and back behind the throne was just a whole pile of packages back there. Well, that kind of aroused their curiosity, and they asked the guide, says, "What's all of this?" Well, says, "That's the answers to the prayers of the saints that they didn't wait to get. So they're just stored up back there." Persistence. It's the man that prays who is the man that overcomes. Prayer is an important function of the soul in the Christian life. And persistent praying is an important exercise of the soul. Jesus went and prayed three times and prayed the same words every time. We kind of discredit the idea of repetition, but God didn't. Keep presenting your request. Keep coming. I was thinking as I sat in my seat there just a few minutes ago about how important prayer warriors are. How great a ministry that is in the work of God. And that God, who balances the scales and weighs us in an even balance, is going to give a lot of credit to the person who prays through back in the secret closet when we'd give it to somebody else that's out there operating before our eyes in the field. Real, persistent, urgent, exercising prayer warriors are a very important part of the work of God. We need them. We had an elderly lady in Anthony, Kansas when we lived there, and she was so infirm that she could hardly take care of herself, and she couldn't get out of her chair in the daytime and get out of her bed without help in the morning. I went to visit her, and she says, "I don't know why the Lord leaves me here." Said, "I'm no good for anything. I can't do anything." I says, "Well, Grandmother Long, you can pray, can't you?" "Oh, yeah," she says, "I can do that." Said, "I do that all the time." Well, I said, "We don't have very many prayer warriors, and we need some of them. And as long as you can do that, well, the Lord can still use you and make you fruitful." A rich, full, effective, successful prayer life is very important, but it comes from rich, full living. There's no need praying your prayers if you don't live them. if there isn't something back of them, something to give them a push and an emphasis. No need living one way and praying another way. In the 66th Psalm in verse 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And if I'm living contrary to God's will, I might pray according to God's will as it is stated in the Word, but He's not going to hear that as long as I regard something in my heart and life that's contrary to His will. We must live our prayers if we expect any results from them. And the ones who are in touch with God are the ones that are living in touch with God. And they can contact God, and they can pray through. Someone said concerning prayer that it's the breath of the soul. I think I agree with that. Do you know what happens when you cease to breathe? Death. When the soul ceases to pray, death follows. Spiritual death. Jesus taught us here that man ought to always pray and not faint. The only alternative here is pray or faint. If we stop praying, we'll faint. And as long as we pray, we won't faint. It's just that simple. People lose out with God because they become lax in their Christian duties. In reading God's Word, meditating and praying and attending services and all, they become lax in those Christian duties and they lose out with God. Death follows that. When you cease to breathe, you die. Now, the man who prays is the man who overcomes his problems in life, is able to live victoriously and triumphantly. When you see somebody that's able to meet their problems in life and overcome them, and to live victoriously and triumphantly regardless of what their circumstances or conditions are, you can just rest assured there's being some negotiations going on between them and God in the secret closet back there. That's a result of their prayers. And they're maintaining their contact with God. Prayer is the means that God has given you and me to maintain communication between our soul and God. And that's the only means we have of doing this. And there's something about prayer and pouring out our hearts, opening up our hearts, revealing our hearts. God knows what's in our hearts anyway. But as we open our hearts and reveal our hearts, there's a transforming something that takes place there. And brings us into a direct touch and contact with God and communication with Him that just bounces right back and transforms us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the automatic result of full, effective, persistent praying is a transformation into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who prays is the man who accomplishes things for God. The man who prays is a man who has the power of God in his life. He gets it through maintaining a contact with God, through opening his heart to God and letting God send back the grace and the power and the strength to transform that soul into the image of his Son. It's through prayer. Men ought to always pray and not faint. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse, he says, pray about everything. In 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in the 1st verse, he says, pray for all men. That's a grand combination, isn't it? Always pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. Pray for all men. I believe that'll furnish us about a full-time job. If we just are persistent in all of those areas. And when he said pray without ceasing, that suggests a thought to me that God is listening without ceasing. In fact, he said in the 34th Psalm in verse 15 that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. He's always listening for your cry. Our God never slumbers nor sleeps. And he's constantly surveying the needs of all of his children. He says, I know what you have need of before you ask. Yet he told us to ask and we'd receive. That does something for us. When we humble our hearts and pray and ask God for what we need, that does something to us. That's what all this praying is for anyhow. It isn't for God's benefit. God knows what we need before we ask him. It isn't for the idea of persuading God that I need this or persuading God to give it to me. He said he's more willing to give good things to us than we are to our children. All this praying is not for him, it's for us. Importunity, what does that work? What does that produce? It produces an urgency in your soul that just ordinarily praying doesn't. And he said God will avenge his own elect. He'll avenge them speedily, though he bear along with them. And that doesn't make much sense, does it? Bear along with them and avenge them speedily. Well, there's some sense in it, though. But the sense is for us. That's what all this praying's for. That's why God bears long with you and me sometimes. Something needs to be wrought in our souls. We need to be mellowed up some. Our hearts need to be broken more. We need to be more humble. We need to be more submissive to God's will and surrendered in our lives to him. And he just withholds the answer to our prayer and bears long with us till the urgency of our need breaks through upon us and breaks us down. Now, here's the way it works. If you have a need, or even just a desire, and you come and pray, nothing happens, you don't get any answer, well, if that's an urgent request with you, and if it's a deep need that you have, and you want something badly, you come back and pray some more, and you'll likely pray a little more earnestly the second time than you did the first. Well, so far so good, it's worked a little. If it is still withheld, you come back and pray some more. But you're getting pretty earnest now. You're getting real sincere about your praying this time. If nothing happens yet, you put some fasting behind your prayer. Amen. It's urgent. The need's great. It's working. It isn't working on God, it's working on you. That's what all prayer's about anyway. Is to bring God's blessings into our lives or into the lives of others that we're connected with. That's what all prayer is about. And if we still don't get results, we're likely to go to the church and say, I've got an urgent need here, and I've been praying about this thing, and I've fasted about this, and now I want the church to agree with me in prayer about this. It's urgent. It's working on you. Tumbling you down. Breaking your will. You may even come back another time and say, I'd like for the church to join with me in fasting and prayer on a certain day about this matter. Get the church in on it. Get them in earnest. God bears long with us to get us where He wants us and to break our will and get us in right attitudes before Him and free from all of the things that would hinder us in our praying. But when we just get right in the right position, He'll avenge them speedily. Just doesn't take Him all day and all night to do what He's going to do. Amen. But He's just waiting on us to get in the condition where He can do it and be glorified in it. Everything's for His glory anyway. And that's the way a consecrated life is. It's for the glory of God, everything. We do our things that we do that God may be glorified. Paul said he was determined that God would be glorified in his body, whether by life or by death, however things went, that God would be glorified. Amen. And he taught us, as Apostle Paul did, he was a very successful man in his ministry and in his life. And he taught us, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And that's the code that consecrated people live by. The consecrated lives are governed by. Is, will it glorify God? It isn't whether it's right or whether it's wrong. There's some things that are right that don't glorify God exactly. But the question in a consecrated soul is, will this glorify God? Not whether it's right, whether it's wrong, but will God be glorified in it? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God, and pray that way too. Pray always without ceasing. Now, folks, if you do this, pray without ceasing, pray always, you're going to do some praying besides that church service. Because you're not always going to be at church service. We've got to live. We're going to be out there mingling with people and doing our job, whatever it is. And we'll not always be in a church service. It involves your private devotions the same as your public devotions. To always pray, pray without ceasing. It involves your secret closet the same as it involves the open church service. Brother C.E. Orr, I knew him quite well, and he was one of the deepest men spiritually that I ever did know, I believe. He was a minister and a writer, wrote several books, and a pastor. And he worked for God just like men work on their job. He had his office and study out in a little room. They had a little cottage out back of the parsonage there at Hammond, Louisiana. And he had his office out there and his library. He had the walls lined with shelves clear up to the ceiling and loaded with books. When he got up in the morning, he'd go out there to his office. And there he would stay till his wife got breakfast ready. I stayed in their home. I saw how he lived. And then he would come in and eat his breakfast, and they'd have their morning worship. If he had any pastoral calls to make, then he'd go make them. And when he got back, he'd go right back to that office, and there he'd stay until his wife got lunch ready and called him to lunch. When he got his lunch over, if he had any errands to run, he'd go do that and then go right back out there to that office and stay till quitting time in the evening. Put in his life out there, studying, meditating, praying. That's where he got his depth. And that's where he received his inspiration. And that's where a light and truth was revealed to his soul that he would never get any other way. And he never allowed anything to interfere with his time of private devotion. If someone was there visiting, he'd talk with them till that time come. And he'd say, "Will you please excuse me now for a little while? I have an appointment with a very dear friend." And he'd go right out to his place where he went for his private prayer. And just leave them sitting in there, or going on their way or whatever. But that was his way of life. And that's where his depth and inspiration came from. He was a successful man in his ministry and in the work of God, but that's the way he carried it on. And he told the story, I've told it before here also, about a business executive. He had a little boy. And often his wife would come downtown on errands or shopping or so on and bring a little boy, and they'd go by this man's office. And the little boy would go in and crawl up on his daddy's lap, and he'd hug him and pat him on the cheeks and make over him and slip down, and he'd want a quarter or half a dollar or something, and his daddy'd give it to him and he'd go on his way. And one day they came down and went to daddy's office, and he just got up there as usual on his daddy's lap and just hugged him and kissed him and patted him and so on. And when it's time to go, he just slid down and started out. And his daddy said, "Wait, son." Said, "Didn't you forget something this morning?" The little boy said, "No, I don't think so." "Now think hard," he said. "Haven't you forgotten something?" "I don't know of anything." "Well," he said, "son, you didn't ask for anything this morning." The little boy said, "Oh, Dad," he said, "I didn't want anything this morning. I just wanted to be with you a little while." Don't you know that father stood a little taller? And don't you know that God delights in you and me just wanting to be with him a little while? Not just coming to him when we have urgent needs or when we're in severe trouble or something, but just want to be with him a little while. Have some communion with him, some fellowship with him. That makes a father stand tall. And it makes God happy too. For you and me to just carry on our prayer life with him, whether we have any severe conflicts or not at that time. Just go and hold some communication with him. Amen.